Hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Hour two, I am Greg the Dive Master. Now, I'm trying to make America dive again. And the way I do that sometimes is enticing our listeners with the big guns, the superstars of the TV and diving world. And that wouldn't include me or Bubba Boy or Jerry the Diver Guy, Eric Douglas, Casey, you know, Pete from Scuba Board. Yeah, we're kind of subpar. You know what I mean? Let's admit it. Right, guys?
B-list. Definitely B-list.
Okay. So we got the big guns.
C-list.
Okay, C. C, it wouldn't be more appropriate. SEA. Yeah,
C,
but
yes.
We have the big guns joining us now. Megan Heaney Greer is with us. She is the star from Treasure Quest, Snake Island, debuting on the Discovery Channel this Friday night, 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. Season 2, right, Megan? It's this Friday?
That's right.
Yes.
That's right, yep.
Yeah, I know you're excited because you've had to stay mum about what actually happens on this season's episode, I'm taking, right? Can you spill the beans yet, or you still have to wait till
tell us,
right?
Megan, tell us the
oh,
details.
Oh, man, I'll tell you what. This, yes, I'm so excited for this to finally be coming out because, you know, living through an expedition like that is, I mean, it blew my mind, the whole thing. And so, yeah, we had to keep quiet. We couldn't even say that we were going on the expedition, which really, I mean, you know, an expedition of this nature with treasure hunting. And I can say that we had a very successful mission.
Uh-huh.
So, yes, I'm not at liberty to say how much or what.
Well, on the trailer, it shows you guys finding this little artifact that looks like treasure to me.
Exactly. They kick the whole season off with one of our finds, which is really exciting. And we have a lot of good stuff in store. I mean, between, you know, there really is something for everybody. It was an awesome time when we were down there and really, just an intense expedition all around. But there's tons of diverse dangers this time. Last time we were really concentrated on Snake Island, you know, and so the biggest danger were, of course, the snakes.
Mm-hmm.
But we have, there's snakes where we were, and we are all over the place in Paraguay and Argentina and the different places we were in. So we're dealing with big, big snakes that have to, you know, fight for a living and are very defensive. Mm. We're dealing with,
spiders,
I was diving
and
in
things.
The rivers, spiders and piranha and caiman, and man, I couldn't see. Okay, as divers, I mean, there's some really nerve-wracking diving in this expedition, in this season.
Yeah.
Oh my God, this pushed me, you guys, to the limit of my comfort zone.
Well, you're one of their lead divers on the show, right, Megan?
Yeah, I'm the dive master. I lead the dives and the search and discovery underwater. So, yeah, I'm in. I'm in every time, and I'm setting up the safety and doing all that. And it's like, I mean, and I'm really comfortable underwater. I've been doing this stuff for a really long time.
Right.
And excel at working well under pressure. But this was nerve-wracking. I had done some drills. One of my buddies that I was doing some of the training with recommended doing drills with tinfoil over my mask when I was back in Florida. And I thought, you know, that's a really good idea. And so I was swimming all over the, you know, the place down there at my folks in the Keys, all over in the water with tinfoil over my mask, doing like search and recovery because that was literally what I was dealing with in the rivers down there. So
wait. You were searching recovering bodies? No.
No. Just random things in the water. So yeah, this was okay. Like my training to get my head. It was part of my preparation.
Right,
because
right.
When you go into these dangerous situations, you know, and you don't totally know what to expect, anything could happen. So I guess how I kind of prepare my mind to get my head in the game is I try and think of everything that could possibly go wrong, which is a lot,
right,
on these expeditions, and then I try and train and prepare for that, and then the rest you just got to let it go. It's sure. Out of my hands anyway.
Well, you know? How remote so, were you? Snake Island and the vicinity is what, it's off the coast of Brazil, right? Or am I right?
Yeah, that was off the coast of Brazil. So this time we're inland, and we're up kind of in the trifecta there between the border of Brazil and Argentina and Paraguay, and we were hundreds of miles from true civilization.
Wow.
Where we would have had, you know, help and an easy way out. There was no such thing where we were. So when I say it has something for everybody, our dangers are real and diverse this time, and we have the history coming back in, of course, which I love dorking out on that stuff, and
sure.
Then awesome crazy diving and treasure. Like I said, we had a successful mission, so the finds that we have will blow your mind. And the team dynamics this time too, you guys, are it was you know, when you're out there for such a long time in dangerous situation, there tends to, I mean, tensions are running high, emotions are running high, all of us are making huge sacrifices to be there, right?
Sure.
Like, we have our own stories and families and stuff at home, and you know, the way that you get through that, I think it's kind of just our human, you know, the default, your kind of survival mechanism that you go to is banter. And you just try to keep it light. So there's like a lot of joking and all that stuff, even in the midst of these dangerous situations and this real nerve-wracking place and expedition that we're on. So anyway, this is the second time most of us have worked together. We have a couple new guys this time, that are bringing some much needed skill sets to the team. But you know, the second time working together with this crew, it kind of lightened everybody up as well. So everybody's personality is really coming through.
Yeah. Well, did everyone get along, or was there some, some needling that got questionable at times? Even in season one, there was a couple instances where the guys seemed to butt heads a little bit. Or was that played up, you think?
Yeah, well, no, it wasn't played up. I mean, you have to, you know that we're out there for months.
Sure.
And we're all
hey, dude, man, you smell. Move.
I can't even explain to you how that is.
Yeah.
But this is not, yeah, you can't smell on the radio, right? But it's, I'll tell you what, yeah, you get to be like a big, weird family. So you have to work together like a tight-knit unit and have that team mentality, because if one person goes down, it can literally take the rest of the team down too, trying to get that person out or rescue that team
sure.
member. So, you know, so we are working together as a team. The new guys meshed in really well. I was really surprised actually, because that was a little nerve wracking bringing in, you know, some new blood to the team. Because
right.
That doesn't always go well. But so the new guys like really meshed well. There definitely were high tensions at times though. We're all pretty strong headed, strong willed, strong headed and type A personalities on the team. So you mix that all together and throw us out in the middle of the jungle and have, you know, dangerous things happening, our lives in danger. And there's bound to be some explosions. And
sure.
There were.
How many people? Well, you got the team on the show, Treasure mm-hmm. Quest, that we see on camera. Then there's a team of film folks as well, I guess, isn't there? So how big of a team are we talking all together out in the middle of nowhere?
Yeah, so at any given time, you know, I mean, we try and keep it as bare bones as possible because we're on this expedition and then the crew is like following us
yeah.
around. But we're also, you know, the mission is like to make sure everybody gets out alive and relatively unscathed. And, you know, and still keeping our sights on what we're doing there, which is looking for the treasure of the Trinity. So it's definitely, God, at any given time, we have, you know, at least a crew of, I would say, I'm trying to think of all the different players involved. out there with us for the duration of it, we had about 10 extra people. So, I mean, it's, you know, we're moving at our pace, and we're, you know, those guys are pretty bad to the bone and are keeping up, which is great. And they're carrying 60-pound cameras on their shoulders.
Right. But you don't see any of the results until everyone else does, like this Friday at 10 o'clock Eastern time on Discovery. Is that right?
Right. Wow. It kills me. It's totally killing me. I like, you know, it's the weirdest thing to be there and like I said, live through all of this and then not, and then you can't talk about it. So it almost feels like it's super, you know, it's trippy. Like, did that happen? Was I there? Because you can't put it out there at all.
Well, I see her on the trailer, so I know she was there. And we're going to see more of it this Friday night, 10 o'clock Eastern time. Megan Heaney-Greer is our guest star from Treasure Quest Snake Island Season 2. We got more with her next on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explore Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explore Ventures, and just maybe why Explore Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at exploreventures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explore Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explore Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explore Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit exploreventures.com. That's exploreventures.com.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Divers in the Know dive with Dan. Divers Alert Network. DAN is the industry's largest association dedicated to scuba diving safety and has served divers for over 30 years. DAN provides emergency assistance, medical information, educational opportunities, trip insurance, and more. Whether you're just learning scuba or a veteran, a DAN membership just makes good sense. Sign up and take advantage of the many benefits DAN offers by going to dan.org. DAN, your dive safety association.
Surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
I own a motel not too far from here, and you'd be welcome to spend the night in one of the empty rooms if you'd like.
And welcome back to the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Halloween weekend. I am Greg the Dive Master. My guest right now is Megan Heaney-Greer. She is the star of Treasure Quest, Snake Island. Season 2 debuts this Friday night, November 4th, 10 p.m. Eastern time. And Megan, being it's Halloween weekend, I got to ask you, you know, creepy things that you encountered off the coast of Brazil or inland there when you're filming this. What was the scariest thing? Can you share that much?
Sure. Well, I can't share specific details, but because you gotta tune in, right?
Of course, but yeah.
I will definitely say that at various times throughout this expedition, some of us are more suspicious than others on the team.
Yeah.
But at different times throughout this expedition, all of us were in grave danger and we're scratching our heads wondering about the curse that in the blood trail of this that follows this treasure.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm not joking. And I like that clip you just played from that movie. I hate those movies. That stuff freaks me out so bad.
Yeah.
I hate that stuff.
You wouldn't take you wouldn't take Norman up on his offer and stay in his hotel?
Oh, man. Those are so freaky. My husband will always rent scary movies, bring them home, and then he falls asleep, and I'm hitting him with pills. I'm like, wake up! I can't watch this by myself. But I'll tell you, there were some creepy things on this expedition, and it's perfect timing, yes, because it is Halloween weekend. Yeah, so
absolutely,
it's opportune, right? But it's you got to tune in. But there's definitely, and like I said, there's a couple people on the team that are a little bit more suspicious about this type of thing than others. But right. But I had my moments and was definitely
creeped.
You know,
out,
the hair on the back of your neck stands up, and you're like, this is not normal. This isn't just straight up.
Now, so
did you see anything that wasn't there?
Oh, like ghosts,
mysterious black forms, or anything?
Well, yeah, like I see dead people. No, it was we were in a lot. We come across some of the ruins and in different sites, and there's a lot of history and a lot of bloodshed in these places. So, I mean, these are like old battlegrounds. Some of the places that we were, and. You know, thousands and thousands of Guarani people, and what was that?
Bumps in the night, things. It would creep you out big time.
Oh, exactly.
There's this whole backstory and history, like you said. It's that kind of sets that mode of or that element of foreboding. And you know, I mean, even when you guys film it, when you're in the caves and stuff, I mean, it's creepy looking. I mean, I wouldn't want to be in there. You get all dirty and stuff.
We were in caves. We were in underground tombs.
Yeah.
We were all over the place. And like, I cannot stress the history that's attached to this. That is so. I mean, it's so crazy the hands that this treasure passed through and the bloodshed that happened because of it. And you don't necessarily get out unscathed. You know what I mean? Like that history is real and it's attached. I mean, you know, like whenever you go out on the water and you think, you know, you're going on a long journey or something like that, like you think about, or at least I do, you know, the people that perished at sea and the different, you know, it depends on what you believe in, but like the different souls that are out there, you know, and Davy Jones' locker, and this is no different. We're inland, but we're on the river, and man, the river is creepy. Like so creepy. Even just the vibe, you know how you just like kind of what you were saying, like the bumps in the night, like you just have this weird sense and the hair on the back of your neck stands up. Man, we all had that so much on this river, and not to mention like the living, breathing dangers that are still out there. I mean, we are in a very dangerous area down there with the borders and all the stuff that happens, you know, transferring illegally over borders and different things. And then on top of that, anytime, you know, with treasure hunting, anytime you're piquing people's interest, because inevitably you have to start digging around and asking some, you know, for some local knowledge.
Right.
And as soon as that happens, that even if it's a, you know, just that it's perceived that you have something of value, your danger just like skyrocketed because we're down there, you know, in the middle of nowhere. And we do encounter some people out there and different things like that. So, I mean, it's, you know, but what we're all over the place. It's such a dynamic, I mean, compared to season one and that expedition where we were really focused on that one geographic area on Snake Island.
Right.
This is like, it's so diverse. And we take a couple road trips and encounter some different obstacles there. And it's really got something for everybody.
Wow. Well, I really enjoyed season one, so I really look forward to it. You know, you got the Gold Rush lead-in, which is one of the most popular shows on Discovery Channel, so that's awesome. I mean, I think more people are going to see this. And can you say how long this expedition went when you guys filmed it? Can you tell us that much? Is that kind of privileged information?
Well, no, I can. So over the course since the last expedition on Snake Island, we all have kind of been bouncing in and out. And then once there was kind of this initial find and we really honed in our trail that we were going on, we all reconvened and had this next big expedition, which is what this season is covering. And we were down there for upwards of 3 months.
Oh, wow.
So, we were out there for a long time.
And hope to break this into what, like a 10-week episode, or how many episodes?
There's seven this time.
Okay.
So we're doing seven. And you know, when you were mentioned in season one, that reminds me, I was posting about it this morning. There's a marathon going on Discovery from tonight of the season one Treasure Quest Snake Island. It starts at 5 and goes till 11 Eastern time.
Excellent.
This evening. So that's exciting. So that's going on. Mm-hmm. And it'll be good for everybody to get caught up on season one so that they're all brushed up on where we left off,
you know,
and where that clue was leading us last year.
Yeah, but you're saying there's going to be more diving in this season, you think? You think
there's going to cover more. Tons of diving, so yeah. I don't know how many episodes they're going to work that into. You know, I really don't.
We'll find out together.
They piece it together, however. But
yeah.
Exactly. But yeah. I did tons of diving, and there was a lot of It was really hair raising, you know, between the piranha and the different wildlife.
Piranhas want to eat your flesh, and the spirits want to eat your soul.
Exactly.
Oh my gosh.
And then you have these little crazy microorganisms in the muddy, nasty water in the rivers in South America that you can't see, and that's even more scary.
Well, that doesn't sound very appealing to me.
Right?
I was like, wow, that's
what was the coolest thing that you did see while you were diving there?
Oh man.
Well, I'll tell you what. It was like diving in Cafe Con Leche, so I couldn't see much of anything.
Okay. So Viz wasn't that great, which is understandable, especially in the rivers. I can imagine that being the case. Megan Heaney-Greer from Treasure Quest Snake Island on the Discovery Channel is our guest. We got more with her next on the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Megan Heaney-Greer is my guest right now from Treasure Quest Snake Island season two kicks off this Friday night, 10 o'clock Eastern time. Megan is actually going to join me at the DEMA show Wednesday and Thursday to help us open up the morning festivities. That's going to be a huge hit. They're going to be so excited to see you, Megan. I just can't wait. It's going to be a blast.
Fun. Well, likewise.
Yes. It'll be a good time for sure. Now, I know last Friday you did your 25-year anniversary of your dive thing online there? Was that last Friday?
Oh, come on. You're making me older than I am now. It was only 20 years.
It was only 20.
But yeah.
Yes. But yeah, time flies.
Yeah, last Friday, though. That was the day. 20 years. Hard to believe, but yes.
Good stuff. Yeah, I wasn't able to join you for the live thing, but I was able to, you know, catch the refeed on that. And that's probably still even up there on Facebook, isn't it? You think, maybe?
Yeah, if you go to my Facebook page, you can find me. It's at Megan Heaney Greer. But also, I should pop this out there, too. My website is a good portal to kind of find all the social media stuff. I have a lot of – all the updates will go – there and through my social media, and then, you know, for any adventures, and I'm going to have a lot of kind of exciting off the map footage I was taking down there when we were on the expedition that isn't on the show. So that's going to be going up on my YouTube channel, and
nice.
You'll be able to find all that on my social media outlets. But my website.
Are you going to be tweeting there during the premiere Friday night?
Yes,
too?
I'm going to do live tweeting, and I will have the videos kind of popping up, sprinkled in throughout the season, but they're on my YouTube channel, and I'll, you know, link those through to my Facebook and things like that as well. But definitely, you know, I encourage people to subscribe to my YouTube channel and the other social media outlets, because we've got a lot of exciting stuff coming up, and you can find all those different outlets on my website, which I'm kind of using as a portal these days, and it's MeganHaneyGreer.com, or freediver.com will still get you there as well.
Excellent.
A little easier to spell that one.
There you go. Well, you know, you can Google her, and you'll find it as
exactly.
well.
Exactly.
She's all over. She's a superstar. God bless her. Megan, it is always a pleasure. Look forward to seeing you in a couple weeks in Vegas, and I wish you all the luck in the world with that new show. Looks awesome. Can't wait to see
Thank you guys so much, and talk to you soon.
Absolutely. More coming up on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Greg the Dive Master, Bubble Boy in the studio. Also, Jerry the Diver Guy. Let's see, Pete from Scuba Board. Eric Douglas, world-renowned author and just all-around great guy and diver. And Casey, my dive buddy from back in the day.
Yes.
That's great stuff. I love checking in with Megan. That show Treasure Quest, if you have not seen it, I highly encourage you to go check out Discovery tonight and pick up on some of that, that marathon that evidently is airing that she mentioned.
I bet they had to deal with witch doctors and spiritual guides.
It really does sound like she was creeped out, you know?
Yeah. She said the hair on the back of her neck was standing up, and usually that means something's behind you.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, there's if you watch season one, there they talk about the curse of this treasure that they're trying to find, the Trinity of the whatever it is. I don't know, Trinity something. But
Treasure of the Trinity.
Treasure of the Trinity, right. And they talk about how there are many, you know, rumors and things that this treasure is cursed, and anyone who finds it is not going to live. I mean, it's
was
right
it just
out of
me,
anyway.
Or did it sound like Megan was like? I kept hearing the sound like coins spilling out. I envisioned her rolling around in this pile of gold coins
True.
And jewels. I think.
Well,
reclining, as it were.
Yeah, I could picture that for sure. But you know, I don't know. The fact she's still talking to us makes me think. Well, she obviously didn't hit it big time.
Exactly. She didn't score that big.
But you know, the thing is, she's so generous with her time, and so she could be a multimillionaire now.
Maybe she'd be generous with her treasure.
There's only one way to find out, you know, and that'll be in Vegas at DEMA.
She'll let us plunk a couple gold coins down on double zero.
Hell, if she sits there and pulls out a like $100 bill and lets it go on red or something, well, like cha-ching,
we'll know.
Yes, exactly. So, but she is a great gal. She really, and she has incredible skills as a free diver and a diver as well. So it'll be real interesting to see. I hope they do feature a lot of the dive stuff on the season this year. They did a little bit last year, not as much as they could have, I think. But you know, you never know. It all depends on what they're finding, and obviously the treasure is inland. I think.
I've dove in a couple black water situations, and it is.
Yeah,
mind-numbing to realize you completely have. You can put your hand up on your mask and you can't see it, and what's out there and what's around you, what you're diving into is completely unknown. It's very creepy.
Well, and plus
your light cut off in a cave.
Yeah, well, exactly, same thing. Yeah, you know, but the thing
is, a couple thousand feet back, and the light goes off. It's like, okay.
Yeah, well, the fact that she said that the visibility was like, you know, zero probably means we're not going to see a lot of underwater footage on TV, is my guess, just because of that.
Only to show us how zero the visibility was.
They're going to just turn the camera off. See? You know. But yeah, I mean, you know, it happens. But it's still a great show. It's a very Indiana Jones kind of vibe. You know, it's like real life Indiana Jones stuff. So great stuff. And I wish her all the success in the world. It's well deserved.
She's doing pretty well so far. I'll give her credit.
Yeah, And like I said, she loves giving back. She loves talking with all the divers. And that's one of the reasons I know she's going to the DEMA show. She wants to give back. She's part of the Women Divers Hall of Fame. I think she's going to help promote them a little bit. And she has a few other, you know, environmental projects and groups that she likes to
She puts support. Up with all of us.
Yeah, she tolerates us, which, you know, I mean, that she obviously has the patience of Job. So I think that's probably how she'll offset any negative spirits or whatever she's picked up over there on this last quest.
She's like, and her... Well, we can put her in touch with Valentina. Maybe she can help.
You know, I almost...
Yeah, maybe she can sprinkle some salt on her or something.
I came really close to mentioning Valentina, our psychic mermaid, to Megan. But I didn't want to... You know, I was afraid to totally creep her out. And then, you know, I figured maybe we ought to just talk to, you know, talk to Valentina separately and just say, hey, can you tune in, find out if
she's not creepy.
Well, I don't want to creep out Megan anymore than she may already be. With Valentina talking to dead people, I mean, it sounds like she's already a little spooked.
Hey, you know every time saying? We see her at DEMA, let's look over her shoulder and go, who's that guy?
Well, you could do that. That would be kind of fun. You know, that'll surely get security involved quickly. And
is that a Black Panther? Yeah. What is that?
Yeah, who knows? But yeah, I mean, you know, she, it's cool. I mean, it sounds like a great adventure. Now, I don't know, as far as training for low visibility dives, you know, placing aluminum foil over your mask, is that what they do, Pete? Is that the typical skill? I would think that
sometimes.
I wouldn't think that'd be the way to do it because the, the reflective material of the aluminum foil.
It's just black.
Most of the time they just paint the lens on an old mask.
Well, that's what
black
I was saying.
Or dark and
right. You would do that as opposed to use aluminum foil, which creates.
It depends on your instructor.
Turn on bright eyes.
try it sometime, Greg. It's just black.
What the aluminum foil didn't reflect? What do you mean?
No.
What's it going to reflect, Greg?
Well, it's underwater. Wouldn't it turn your mask into a lure?
If you have a clear skirt, you might have some reflection. But most of us real divers use black skirts.
Well, I know, but still, the you know, the aluminum foil.
I don't wear a black
put
skirt,
it over
sorry.
Your, if you put it over your mask, it's going to reflect off of other stuff underwater in the sun and everything, wouldn't it?
But not
outside,
in the
to other people, but
eyes.
Not to you.
But well, the guy or gal wearing the mask can't see it, Greg.
No, what I'm talking about, you're turning your mask into a friggin' lure that might attract a shark or a bear.
You'll never know. You can't see it.
You wouldn't see it coming, exactly.
Well, they actually use that technique to train people who are learning to dive with people who are blind. So, you know, as a bit of empathy to feel what it's like. It's pretty
common.
You
stick a plastic bag in the black plastic bag in the mask.
Okay.
We do that.
Well, see, that's
and
that would make more sense
for a,
to
know,
me.
Fun dive. Well, but you got to realize, Greg, usually they're back in the, if it's in a cave dive you're doing this, you're back in the cave, and all of a sudden they want you to act like there's no lights. Well, by standards, the instructor has to be able to see the cave.
True.
He doesn't want you to get into trouble you can't get yourself out of. So they do a blackout mask. Either the mask is blacked out, they have a little neoprene thing that you can buy that'll go over the mask.
Well, she even mentioned she was doing some training down in the Keys, and so I'm thinking, okay, she's going off the coast down there in South Florida or, you know, down off Key West someplace, and I'm thinking, like, wait a minute, that's where the barracudas and the sharks and stuff, they, you know, you get a little reflection. That would be one place where I really wouldn't want any kind of
myth, Greg.
Mistaken identity for, you know, lures is around my face. I mean, look at this.
Hey, just
look
take
at
this face. Cooper
said to me
River.
That I wear a silver ring.
Oh, there is nothing alluring about your face, Greg.
Well, okay. You got me there. Yeah, well,
just
what about...
Just take her to the Cooper River.
Why?
There. She can find some shark teeth while she's there, because it's pitch black anyway.
Okay, well, that would have been good practice, but you had been too far. You know,
a gator tail.
Gator, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
True.
Turtles.
Well, anyway, there you go. I don't know. I don't think it's that big a deal, you know, with that reflective stuff. I just I thought there might be a better way. I think the trash bag might be... Makes sense.
Just use duct tape next time.
Or duct tape. Leave that sticky, gooey mess on
or
your
close your
mask
eyes.
After you're done. Or close your eyes. Lo and behold, leave it to Casey.
That's what I've done in the past.
You're cheating! I see you're cheating!
Yeah. You're only cheating yourself if you're doing it
well,
on training,
good point.
Greg.
You're only
cheating yourself.
Yes, indeedy. All right. Well, that works. Getting back to Halloween, though, let's talk a little bit more about these spooky dives. You guys have any more you'd like to share? Bubble Boy, anything jumps out at you? Or
that one cave dive we went on.
The one cave dive.
Up in 40 Fathom Grotto.
Ah, yes.
There are some spirits in 40 Fathom.
You know, have you heard the theme that it's all these friggin' freshwater cave dives in Florida? You know, everybody's been bringing those up as far as how they feel.
Yeah, but you know, 40 Fathom isn't really a cave unless you go down to the 40 Fathoms.
Well, or you go back up under the ledge. Is that where you're talking about?
If you go all the way to the bottom, there's a cave. And way back in the day, there is an old story, which may or may not be true, of a whole class being lost in the aquifer.
Yeah, that's a may not be true.
That's a may not be true. Okay.
Well, but you know, it's scary.
Any time when you have low visibility, I think it gets creepy. And I'll
Greg is near a cave that took people's lives.
Well, it doesn't have to be a cave. But you're our friend who? Who would you say?
Rock Springs Run. Yeah. Up there, they have it all caged off because in the late 50s, early 60s, they had a Boy Scout troop get lost there, and they sent back a diver or two, and they didn't come back.
And a bear came and ate them.
Alligators.
Yeah, something like that. All right, more coming up. Scuba
Radio. Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
For over 20 years, Explore Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explore Ventures, and just maybe why Explore Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at exploreventures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explore Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explore Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explore Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit exploreventures.com. That's exploreventures.com.
How many times have you heard your diver friends say it's been a while since their last dive? Let your buddies know how easy they can get back in the water with the all-new PADI Reactivate program. Reactivate is designed to give divers the confidence to get back in the water by refreshing fundamental skills and dive principles. Reactivated divers will receive a PADI replacement certification card, and you get your dive buddy back. Contact your local PADI dive center, resort, or instructor to refresh your scuba skills with PADI Reactivate today.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into scubaradio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the Shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at Scuba Radio.
Prepare to rig for dive.
Your surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
What truly lurks beneath the sea? What mystery awaits?
Halloween, Halloween, Halloween. Ghostly things are gonna happen.
Everyone's in.
That the children could see, but I can't find them for the life of me. And there's Halloween spooks
outside my window frame.
All right, everyone at once.
That's a little big. Greg, quit that.
This is Halloween weekend here on the world's first radio
you, my pretty
show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master.
Ruh-roh.
And I apologize.
Let's take your little dog underwater.
This is the best Halloween song ever, I think.
Can you hit that?
This makes you
want
to sing along, doesn't it?
Is that a sheep?
Those are what ghosts sound like, I think. That's my
I think that's what my tank sounds like when I'm sucking out that last ounce of air.
It is possible. Very possible. All right. So, you know, we are talking about spooky dives for Halloween, as well as, you know, disturbing music as well. And, you know, when it comes to, you know, scary dives, you know, I noticed it seemed like everybody was bringing up these, you know, cave dives, freshwater dives we have here in Florida, you know, where we're based out of in Orlando, Florida. It's not far to get there.
That dive we did on the Vandenberg.
Vandenberg?
That ship was used in a horror movie, too.
Anytime you get into a wreck or an open, you know, or, you know, closed environment, you know, where you don't have a direct shot to the surface, whether it's a cave, a wreck, or whatever, it gives a little element of, you know, spookiness. But what I was going to say, on one of my first dives in the open ocean, you know, you have that anxiety of just being a beginner diver in the first place. And when you can't see anything, it's like the fear of the unknown. And we were diving off of West Palm Beach. I think this was about my first, or it was about my 10th dive. And it was a real interesting dive because it was one of the scariest. Yeah, right. It was one of the scariest dives I had, but it was also probably the most rewarding because it was one of my first ocean dives. And when I got certified many years ago, it was not a pleasant experience, to be honest.
Wait a minute. I take offense at that.
It wasn't you.
You had a wonderful time.
No. This was before I met Casey, actually. You know, Casey, I don't know if you remember this, but I actually got certified with another dive shop that was down the road from you. And I went through their program, and I was like, gosh, this kind of blows.
Was that the dive shop with all the wetsuits in the trash bucket between dives?
They were running like a $39.95 special.
Yeah, okay. They're not around.
Right. They're not around anymore. And I was like, golly, I went into this like it was like $50 and then next thing you know, you go to class and there you've spent $250. I was like, whoa, what happened to the $39.95 deal? Yeah.
That was an a la carte dive shop.
Exactly. I was kind of like, yeah, something's not right here. And so I went down the street and that's where Casey worked and I started talking to him and we actually started to become friends, and I was like, yeah, it's not supposed to be like that, and you can do this, and da-da-da, and, you know, I learned over time. But those first few dives, not only was I kind of railroaded with the dive shop a little bit, but I was, I went out and did my checkout dives in Crystal River. It was like 40 degrees, and it was sleeting that day, so the weather was terrible. And the visibility was practically zero. And I was like, gosh, no, wait a minute. I've seen the Discovery Channel. I know diving's supposed to be more fun than this. And I hung in there. I was like, it has to be better. It's not supposed to be like this. I know it's supposed to be cool. I've seen this on TV. I want to do that. And so I kept at it and finally got down to West Palm Beach for a dive, and it might have been with you, Casey. I don't remember, but it was one of my first ocean dives. And, you know, the weather was right. The sun was out. It was warm. I jumped in the water. The water's blue. I'm seeing all these cool colored fish and stuff. And we're kind of doing a follow the leader dive. Me and my wife and another couple is in front of us. And, you know, they're supposedly following the dive master. But, of course, about halfway through, we noticed they weren't. Because they turned around and gave us, like, hey, where'd they go? kind of signal. And like, go! You know, and now you're a little anxious because this is one of your first ocean dives. We're out in the middle of nowhere.
Welcome to so open water.
Well, we'll see. The visibility was good, laterally, but vertically there was like a cloud layer, so it created this kind of blue ambiance all around you. So all you saw was open ocean around you. And you're thinking you're out in the middle of the ocean. No one's going to find your body once you float. Yeah, and your mind's going crazy. But it's just because of the fear of the unknown and not being able to see. You know, you don't see the boat. You don't see your buddy or your dive master, your instructor or whatever, and your mind goes crazy. And it kind of gives it that spooky feeling. Now, of course, as soon as we hit the surface, like, oh, the boat's right there. It was just slightly out of vis range.
Every time I did a night dive, for some reason, when I would get ready to step off the back of the boat, I just had this feeling like there was this huge set of jaws waiting for the tidbit.
Ah, yes. Well, that's usually the case. Not. Never. No. But night dives are awesome, though. You know, it's the thing. It's that sense of adventure of the unknown that you kind of have to embrace sometimes. It makes it
once you're on the bottom.
Okay, once you're on the bottom. Well, fair enough. All right, well, look, that'll do it for this week. Happy Halloween to you. Remember, we're here to make America dive again. Please support my campaign. Until next time, remember, it's always better
downwards.
Safe diving, everyone.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Scuba Radio.
This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.